All right, I'd like to call to order the March 9th, 2015 board meeting. May you please rise, face the flag for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Wilkinson, here. Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr.
Elder? Here.
Mr. Nelson?
Here.
Mr. Esplanza?
Here.
Mr. Bochinski?
Here.
Mr. Kenway?
Here. Okay, the board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session. To discuss collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. And the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you.
Mr. Ellis?
Roll call.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Mr. Esplanza?
Yes.
Mr. Elder?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Kenway?
Yes. So we will be adjourning the closed session and coming back shortly as possible. Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome for joining us. We're back in open session at a certain time here in the evening at 8:03 p.m. We'd like to go into public participation. I'd like to remind members of the audience that speakers should identify themselves, complete a public participation form, and limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. If your comments have substantially been reflected in others, we would ask in the interest of time that you please forego making them and that you provide the board with any copies of written material that you may have. Personal complaints and criticisms about staff members, students, or other members of the District 41 community should be initiated privately with the appropriate district representative. Also, profanity, interruption, and or other interference with the orderly conduct of the meeting are not permitted. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate District 41 staff representatives for a response if a response is warranted. Is there anyone present that would like to address the board at this time?
Shelby Baker.
Good evening.
We're ready.
Hi, I'm Shelby Bakken. I'm at Churchill here in. And I just wanted to take a moment to thank both Dr. Gordon and the board members for all of the effort and the partnership that has taken place with the facilities planning and the elimination of that last core bullet at Churchill School. So we can move on quickly to the next agenda item, and I just wanted to take the time to recognize and highlight that there was true collaboration that existed between the board and the parents in getting that achieved. I know a lot of time and consideration has been put into that process by each one of you. And it has been really encouraging to me as a parent to experience such a collaboration. I've been impressed with both the professionalism and the commitment to the students that you have shown. I also appreciate that your positions are volunteer and you've spent a lot of your time to listen and review materials that have been brought to you. Thank you for all of your efforts.
Thank you. You're welcome, I guess. Thank you.
Jennifer Rath. Hi.
Good evening.
I've been concerned about recent discussions between the board, administration, and parents. And it kind of came to a head last week with the recent email from John Kedwood, Dr. Gordon, and Brian Dunkowski about the extended elementary school day. Of course, it stirred up questions within our community. Many community members did not even know the teacher contract negotiations were still being done after the almost close of the 2012 contract. During the last round of the negotiations at board meetings, when Sam Black and Dan Smith negotiated, they represented the board and vis-a-vis us. So we don't even know as a community which board members were representing us as a community for this. We would always get at least the cliff notes. We discussed insurance benefits for 3 hours and made good progress. I'm a teacher too, so I respect the confidentiality of negotiations. But from that perspective, as an educator, I found it hard to understand why that email went out before the VIA teacher vote. It almost seemed like coercion to me on part of the administration to get the teachers to vote yes. This email set off a storm of questions from parents and community. Rumors abounded. Some included that the kids' PE time will be cut, lunchtime shortened, teacher schedule will actually be shortened. These questions were everywhere in the community, not just from the Lincoln community. My biggest concern, though, was the non-trans process that you went through to get here with the teacher's contract and with some other issues. When I asked questions about this at last week's town hall meeting, Dr. Gordon's answer was, "Don't you trust us? Don't you trust me?" This is not an ad hominem argument. My friends and neighbors want answers to these issues. If your processes are well thought out with the plan, you'd be able to quickly and confidently defend and give answers to this. As a case in point, this is great. You know, I wish we would have had this earlier. It probably would have nipped some rumors in the bud. But I'd also like to see, you know, what are the negatives discussed? You can't tell me that there aren't some concerns, and hopefully we'll hear those in the discussion tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jeff Cooper.
Mr. Cooper.
Thank you, Jeff Cooper. I've got three things here. Follow up on what Jennifer just said. I would like to know, and I'd like to know tonight, who the people were that were our representatives in this contract extension, what we call transparency. So before I'm done, hopefully I'll leave some time to get an answer. But second thing, this is for Dr. Gordon. After you corrected me last time about us not being able to go to referendum on November 16th, we now realize we've been told by Erica that in fact we can go to referendum because 2016 is an even year and not an odd year.
I was under the impression that you were talking about next November. For that, I apologize.
Okay. All right. Yeah, next. Thank you. The third thing. So we took option one off the table. That would be the option of trying to use the existing schools for doing full-day kindergarten. And we get the reason it was thrown out there by not wanting to sort of get out the amount of money that we're spending for doing various things. So I have a suggestion, because there are people in the community that first feel that the option one was preordained to be taken off the table. What I suggest is that since you've got nothing to lose in the referendum, it will probably be then in November 2016, that you allow a committee of stakeholders who are for option one, who would like to be able to vet out option one, who are then able to go ahead and going to the schools and see how the schools are being utilized and everything, and hopefully they'll come up with some ideas to go ahead and further option one. We'll have most of a year, I think, to go ahead and do that, but if they cannot come up with an option, if they cannot come up with any kind of an idea to go ahead and get option one, then we've gone ahead and we've proved the point that we need to build a new school. It won't cost anything to have a committee of citizens to have to do this, so that argument is gone. And I don't see any other reason why we can't go ahead and look into the most quickly responsible way of trying to do this. If it doesn't work, then you know, we're going to have to write up to this, then I come the time to do that next November. And now we go back to the first question, and I'll take about 30 seconds and wait here. Who were the people, if it's two people, that were representing me in the contract extension? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Sarah Michael.
Good evening. My name is Sarah Michael. I have four children, three in school, and one will be next year. I've lived in Glen Allen since I was 6 years old. I object strongly to two of the changes proposed for the changes for the teacher's contract. The longer school day for the elementary school, I don't believe is a positive change. These children are already working at a rigorous level, overall above grade level, in all subject areas. Excuse me, I had demo work done tonight. I'm numb here. They are expected to be thinking critically throughout the day, working their little brains very hard. On a personal level, I have two little boys who wake up at 8 a.m. This will be have a very negative impact on them. We'll be having to wake them up earlier. If this change happens, there's no way that we will be having them do homework after school children are supposed to get an hour of exercise every day, 60 minutes. On that note, taking away PE, many children will not be getting their 60 minutes of exercise every day. They, as it is, they have a very short amount of time for PE every day and a short recess. Children go home, they should be able to run around and exercise outside. There's only a short amount of light during most of the school year. Taking away PE, there's research that has proven that children need PE recess every single day. Same test, they have recess every day through eighth grade. And many good teachers will replace that one day not having PE with recess, which will defeat the whole purpose of taking away the PE in the first place. So please reconsider both the extended school day and removing the PE. I'd like to state one other thing for the record, that I object to the park tests. I believe that there is too much of the school year spent preparing for the standardized tests. Creates loss of instructional time. I've chosen to opt my sixth grade daughter out this year, and next year I will do so for my third grade son. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Presentations. Ms. Taylor, PTA report.
Today we had our state, our council meeting, and especially with my engineering members. I'm going to start off with our state chair. And I want to really thank Kristen Massey and Sue Lane, that's a lot of Kristen's here, for our safety fair, where we had about 150 to 175 people to show up to our safety fair, which was a community partnership between our community members and 20 partners, including the, you had the Dunkin' Donuts, Whole Foods, you had police department, the fire department, EMT for a lot of uniforms and martial arts. It was really, really a nice partnership in what we're supposed to be doing in terms of partnering with the PTA, the community members in District 41. And we also had breakout sessions with brain injury, traumatic brain injuries, and spinal injury. It was kind of nice to see a neurosurgeon, a doctor of academics, and then we have the athletic guy who's like, I'm with all of you. And so it was really nice to see that, as well as the cyberbullying that was done by a Glenelg parent as well. So wanted to really stress that and say that hopefully we can continue that partnership. You know, a lot of the feedback we got from community members, they were wanting to do it again, and it's just, you know, it's just what we're here for. So I wanted to say that for this. Also, we talked about our state convention for PTA that is coming up. I invite everybody to join us, where we will have 11 students who have made it to state from the school district. So, seven. I'm on a roll today. So we will have, it's our opportunity to go to Peoria and support them because they've worked hard and move that from, you know, the local level to the district level and now at their state. Let's see. Also, I want to share with you that there are three national park passes for every fourth grader and their families for starting next fall. To every national park, monument, forest, wildlife preserve, the waterway, in an effort to get kids away from their screens. And that is something that is a partner with PTA as well as the initiative for our presence. But I think that that's something worth sharing, and, you know, I think a lot of fourth graders should be going to the monument. Our school districts, in our schools, let's see, we have Forest Glen is working on their high interest day, which is going to be on April 27th, and then they're having a community outreach dental drive. And one of the ways that they meet their goals, Megan is going to dress up as a toothpaste. So I think there are a lot of kids who are pushing for that to happen. do have Churchill, who also having a, they're planning their mother's son bowling event for April 16th, and they also have a community sponsor who is also at Hadley, which is the Catherine Applegate. We're all working on our nominating committees because we're planning for next year. Let's see, did I forget anybody special? Churchill, I think that is pretty much a good synopsis of what's happening. Oh, other than at Hadley, we have the Shrek musical that is coming up this weekend. I will tell you that we have already had two nights that are sold out, and that's about 450 sold out.
That's crazy.
So if you want tickets, I suggest you go to your own plan for Saturday. Right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a Shrek look-alike? Okay. Discussion items, board policy revisions, Paul, and policy committee members.
Yes, the policy committee met last week to refine the documents, or is it 2 weeks ago now? It seems like it was a while ago. What you have in front of you are a number of policy revisions within the 6.0 policy around instruction. Many of them were some simple changes due to footnotes and other aspects, but there were a couple that had more details to them. Catherine, Dean, I'll hand it to you, and then we can talk a little bit more about specifics, about the process. And
do you want to weigh in, Catherine? I think last time I started. So.
I will just start by saying for the rest of the board, a lot of this was curriculum, and so we relied heavily on staff to have looked it over and brought up questions or suggestions based on the changes that press have recommended. So I put a lot of faith in the fact that they're closer to the front line on the curricular issues, and they brought the recommendations to us.
I think that what you'll find is all the changes that were done in red, they're all what press has recommended. What our goal was on the policy committee was to get through the Section 6 on instruction by June, and I think what we found out because of all the work that the administration was doing, and Nancy in particular with organizing this and getting it all together, was that it was pretty straightforward what we needed to do. There's not a lot of controversy or anything in here. Most of this is changes in state law that require us to add a paragraph or take a paragraph out or revise it. So it's all pretty straightforward. There's nothing that was been out of ordinary.
Okay.
So
questions?
So, yeah. This one caught me because we're talking facilities, but was this a press?
Which number, Patrick? Sorry.
630. Under instruction, organization of instruction, page 7, number 2. Superintendent Chanel annually presents school board a plan of organizing instructional levels and assigned to them. 1, support district educational program, but 2, maximize facility usage without undue overcrowding.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something? Is that just coincidence that we're having that conversation?
It is. These are fresh recommended. None of these were added on by.
Yeah, we didn't write any of this.
Yeah.
What we did is adopted the press, and you know that struck us the same way that's where the focus has been.
The only other one I brought up, and I had asked Dean about this before, was one that I felt was kind of dichotomous, 640, which is under curriculum development. And this is truly one of those things where it's Illinois school code, and so you plug it in. And it reads single gender classes and activities, which I found. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it. I understood what I read it, but I regret it. I thought, well, this is kind of antithetical to equal opportunity stuff. But it's exactly where it falls under is equal educational opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that this, because this is brand new, that it's because the law, they're writing to the law.
They are. They are.
Okay. And then that particular area, I think the only change that we made to that was in the last sentence. It used to say the superintendent shall develop and provide subject area curriculum guides to appropriate staff members, and we added the superintendent or designee. Shall mm-hmm. So we didn't change any of the language from perhaps besides that.
Yeah, and it's reference to the
law. Yep. Any other questions?
Anyone else? Okay. Okay, action items, consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes the human resources personnel report, the employment recommendations, the leave requests and resignations, resolution authorizing notice of... Sorry, what?
No, sorry. Oh.
Notice of dismissal to non-tenure teachers other than final year probationary teachers, resolution authorizing notice of final year probationary teachers, finance, facilities, and operations, school district payment order February 18, 2015 through March 5, 2015. Other matters, approval of board meeting minutes, February 23, 2015 regular board meeting, and the February 23, 2015 regular board meeting closed minutes.
Motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Elger?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Okay, superintendent's recommendations. Please bear with me, folks. This is long. In very productive negotiations, which led to the current 2012-2016 collective bargaining agreement between DEA and the board, considerable time was spent addressing the interest raised by the board in creating additional teacher work and student instructional time during the school day, especially at the elementary level. The agreement referred the time interest to Team 21 and the Continuous Improvement Team, the development of recommendations to be negotiated as required by the agreement and the Illinois Education Labor Relations Act, and consistent with the good working relationship between the board and GEA. Team 21 and CIT worked hard and in good faith to address the time interest and issued reports within the time frame set. However, they were not able to reach consensus on recommendations, and at the direction of the board, the administration leadership team engaged with GEA leadership to address the interest in extending the elementary school day. The administration spent a significant amount of time considering the Team 21 and CIT reports and obtaining teacher input through discussions in the building in the spring of last year and the fall of this year. All of these efforts formed the basis for a formal proposal from the board to GEA on January 14, 2015 to make changes in the teacher work and student instructional day, and concluded with tentative agreement in principle on February 20th, 2015. Presentations by the GEA leadership to the membership took place and culminated in a ratification by the GEA membership on March 5th, 2015. A memorandum of understanding reflecting the tentative agreement has been developed and signed this afternoon by the GEA co-presidents, completing the process called for by the current agreement, including modifications connected with the establishment of the new approach to time in the Memorandum of Understanding. The Memorandum of Understanding increases the elementary student instructional day by 35 minutes, provide blocks of time for preparation by elementary teachers for delivery of specials at the elementary level, changes one teacher institute day to a teacher work day, addresses parent-teacher conference time, establishes new parameters for teacher arrival and departure times, extends the 2012-2016 agreement from June 30, 2016 to June 30, 2018, using the same formula for salary increases and maintaining the insurance contributions by teachers at the 2015-2016 level of cost-sharing percentages of 14%, 28%, 28%, and 30%, and provides the board the opportunity to renegotiate at the end of either the two additional years if legislation significantly impacts district revenues and expenditures without offsetting revenue and reopening the insurance provisions of the agreement if insurance costs increase beyond a specific percentage. I have a motion to approve the memorandum of understanding between the Board of Education and Glen Ellyn Education Association for modification of the 2012-2016 teachers agreement and the K-5 school day in the form recommended by the superintendent and signed by the GEA co-presidents earlier today. Motion, please.
So moved.
And a second. Okay. Before our discussion, Karen is going to present to us some more information around the contract so that we can communicate this more information.
Kind of a sample schedule. And so first of all, just to remind you, this is just a sample because every year our building administrators create that building schedule based on the number of sections as well as any special programs they house. And then just any other particular building needs of that. So here we have, this is a, it could be any student at any particular grade level, and I'm just going to kind of walk you through really what would occur here. And as referenced in the document, it provides for that kids at kind of grade level bands would have these blocks of time at the same time. So the day begins at 8:30. We provided for kind of that first 5 minutes for those announcements, lunch count, take attendance, that sort of thing. Kids get settled, and then this particular student would go to their first special of the day, which is, in this case, a 30-minute special. So the other students then just begin their core instruction with their classroom teacher. They have a 30-minute special. Then you can see 905 are kind of back into their classroom for core instruction for the remainder of that morning. And to note here, too, the goal is to kind of create that three-hour block of time, which provided for them a three-hour kindergarten day, a.m. and p.m., and then from an instructional perspective, kind of that three-hour chunk. So you've got a couple transition times that occur in the early half of the day that allows for this to occur. So at 11:35 then, kids in grades 2 through 5 transition to their PM class, and then they go to lunch. So coming back from lunch, they go back to their afternoon teacher for core instruction. The other thing that's really not noticed on here is the kind of 10, 15 minutes before lunch and then the half hour after lunch, no specials are occurring. And this allows kind of easier access to the gym for lunch setup and cleanup. But then it also gave our specials teachers some common plan time, really kind of across the district, but within the building as well. So for this particular student, they're, after lunch, they're back for core instruction. Then they, at this particular time, 1:45, would go into their second special of the day. And this would be a 45-minute special. And then back to their classroom for the last hour of the day for what we call co-instruction. And so I just kind of want to mention, if you look at this kind of the morning block of time within this core instruction, if I'm a literacy teacher, I've got more flexibility in how I use that time. Readers and Writers Workshop, if I'm a STEAM teacher, and I've got my math and science going on at that particular time, we know that obviously other grade levels might have their break sometime within there, but teachers, they give what we call brain breaks or movement breaks to get kids kind of moving and just to, kind of rejuvenate, that sort of thing. That would be provided for. And the workshop model itself involves student movement, which is helpful. And then an example down here, their specials kind of falls within that kind of time frame. So a teacher could do Reader's Workshop here and then Writer's Workshop afterwards, or they might start with math here and then come back and then they'd have that solid hour of science. Or they could kind of reverse it based on what's going on.
And Karen, just for definitional purposes, specials in this refers to art, music, PE, and the foreign language. and then the core instruction refers to literacy or C.
Social studies slash AMC, right. So whatever those, your current specials rotation, so, but including that flex is now part of the specials rotation.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Sharon. Oh, I apologize. Did I jump?
No, no. I was done unless you have one question.
Oh, I thought you were going to go through the rest of this. No?
A few more of the benefits do you want to talk about?
I tried to kind of highlight what I could in here that somewhat connected. So the reason why do you want me to kind of go through these?
Maybe pick a couple of the time pieces. You know, when FLESS was removed from science.
Right. So that first bullet point there that talks about capturing that 175 minutes. FLESS, which is 30 minutes a day, currently it's the first and second grade. That time is pulled out of kind of the literacy or the math kind of core instructional time, and so. By putting it into that specials rotation, it gives you back that time you're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, but you see at level 3, your foreign language has rolled up. They've just got the 25 more minutes until level 3, fourth graders and then fifth graders in the classroom. Trying to kind of see if there's any other. Talks a little bit about the transition times being reduced. You can kind of see we've allotted for some of those transitions. The 45-minute specials rotation will often have back-to-back. And we've done this in the past, kind of partnering music with PE or digital media with PE and that. So they transition within that block as opposed to their teacher transitions them twice, kind of within their core. Digital media, it's our library media specialist. We've already been transitioning that position, but this year they've been working a lot on research skills. Some of that technology will be in there, like internet safety, technology in general, as well as the presentation skills. So the work that they do will really support the work that occurs within STEAM and literacy as well.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
it's good.
No, unless you want to hit just a little bit around the PLC time for the teachers.
So what this will do too is currently your PLC time is outside of the school, so that 30 minutes occurs before school. So they'll now have that individual personal plan time within the day, that kind of that 30 minutes. So while the kids were at their 30 minute special, the teachers of those students would be that's their personal planning time. During this 45-minute special block of time would be the PLC time. And that's currently it's outside of the day. It goes back in where they're talking student data, common assessment. It's also considered plan time because they are planning as well, that they're planning together, then maybe more kind of that isolation of personal planning time. So all together, it's 75 minutes within that
day. Okay, great.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay, discussion, board members, anyone?
Okay. So I will be voting yes tonight on this, and one of the reasons that I'm going to be voting yes is that besides what I think is evident in being able to increase the core learning time for the kids, which is really what a lot of this is about, with the rigor of the Common Core and the changes in the curriculum around that, I think by adding the time to the PLC time to give them 15 more minutes a day to work in their groups, it's better than just adding more stuff for the teachers to do, but we're giving them the time to collaborate, to talk about what they're observing in the classroom with the other teachers and share them. I think that that's going to help out a lot. So I think that those things, with the addition, you know, when we talk about extending the contract, I was very happy to see that when we talked about extending the contract for an additional 2 years, we also put 4 different instances in there that allows us to open that contract back up if things happen that we can't control. One, if the pensions you know, if there's something that the state does different with the pensions, it allows us to go back in and talk to the teachers about our open contract again. The second is if there's a big change in state aid. The third would be if there's something around the property taxes that maybe gets changed and it restricts what we can do along property taxes. And then the fourth, we even have a mention in there about if implementing ACA allows, if that increases our costs, we're allowed to go back to the teachers on that. So I think we've built safeguards into the extension, but now we're not going to be focused on negotiating another extension because I think we have a good contract now, and we're focused on moving this forward. So that's why I'm supporting it.
Great. Anyone else?
I actually wrote a response because I wanted to make sure I get as much as information as I could, possible clarity on how I'll be voting. First of all, I'd like to, so bear with me, John. First of all, I'd like to thank all parties that were part of the conversation, the teachers, VIA team, administration, and fellow board members. As in all negotiations, I do appreciate that each representative tries as much as possible to be equitably representing the topics and discussion items for their constituents. With that, I support this memo of understanding for the following reasons. One, this will finally close out the last remaining item of the current and in-place contract. This memo of understanding is not, I repeat, not a reopening of the existing contract, but a full stop of the last contract negotiating an open item. Second, as a fiduciary of this district, I felt responsible that this agreement be put in place as soon as possible. Discussions to try to resolve this issue have been going on and have been following the respective state of Illinois protocols for transparency of contract negotiations ever since I've become on the board. As each attempt to resolve the issue individually by both board and our GIA partners over the past 2 years were not successful, this last effort proves that creative efforts will eventually come to fruitful solutions. Third, I support the two-year extension that provides financial stability for the district during what I perceive will become a more of a precarious time of school funding by the Illinois legislature during the next session. In conjunction with the extension, this MOU provides the board, future boards, the district, certain financial assurances within the contract clauses should state and federal and local mandates negatively impact the revenue sources of B41. Finally, to address the select few who have reached out to myself on this topic and if this should be addressed after the current election cycle, I disagree. I did not run for the school board because of politics, but actually quite in spite of it. My role as a representative of the community is to ensure that this district is ran as efficiently, effectively, and with as much continuity as possible. I'll always try to let teachers teach, administration implement curricula, and the school board define district policies that should be followed by our superintendent. I do not consider myself a delegate for any interest groups that have agendas or scholastic prejudices. I will listen to those ideas, but reserve the right to balance it against who may have different opinions and will cast my vote and my conscience to which I think best represents the best for this district. In closing, I would like for us as a community not to look for fault, collusion, or heavy-handedness in this agreement. There are none. Employment matters are always sensitive and are confidentially does not correlate to the lack of transparency, but actually to fair, honest, and open communications during the employment contract process. In every negotiation, there are compromises and never will there be 100% agreement. But if you both land somewhere where most everyone agrees to the outcome, you consider it a win and you move forward. Let's continue to move forward. I recommend to support this recommendation.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
I don't need to repeat what's already been said. I'll just try to make a couple of small points to emphasize a few things that you did say. I feel that the board involvement in this process has been extensive and we've been well informed as to what the issues were. I think that we tried in very good faith to amend the contract, taking into account the input that we got from the staff and faculty representatives. I think it's a significant accomplishment to finish off this task that's been lingering since the close of the previous contract negotiations. And I think that both our students and teachers stand to gain with the increased contact time in the workday and increased planning time over the course of the week. Even though it's an increase in minutes, I think it will prove to be a reduction in stress and pressure because the work can take place without having to rush to finish things in a shorter period of time. And so I think the extended time will actually allow people to work more carefully and more thoroughly.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'll go next. I didn't want to follow Patrick because that was very well said. So thank you, Catherine, for stepping in. I do echo a lot of what each board member has said thus far, especially Patrick with the politics or perceived politics behind it. I think that was important to articulate, and I thank you for that. I will be supporting this motion also. I do believe it achieves the previous board's, the prior board's goal of the time of day matter. One that I support, and I'm supporting tonight with my vote. I believe there are, you know, we've highlighted, Karen highlighted, the memo highlighted many of the pros of this recommendation of this contract, the ones for me I'll just list quickly here that I believe are utmost importance. I think the extension is very important for many of the reasons stated. As Dean had stated, there's four areas which we've placed protections in this amendment, and that's very important, especially with the current issues we have with state funding, among many matters, including education. The PLC time increasing 15 minutes a day seems to be just a win all around for our teachers, and obviously for our children. If the teachers have better time to prepare, we will have better educators, and then our students will get the results of that very quickly. The increasing uninterrupted teacher blocks, I think, is I've learned a lot about that, and I think is a key part of this. The length of a kindergarten, we've been talking about full day kindergarten, we have very little time, adding 30 minutes to it. I think it's great for those students coming in next year. The feedback we got about full-day kindergarten, survey, listening tours, everything, and saying, yes, yes. And just 30 more minutes for these parents who have kindergartners next year, we are making a difference right there. We can't give them a full day. That's been on the plans for a couple of years, as we've discussed, but at least giving them 30 more minutes. And the key thing for me is overall teacher contact time with our students, for each student, is increasing. And that, to me, is great. I have two children in the district and Lincoln School, and their teachers have been great, and I can only imagine with the increased time how it's going to help them as young students. In summary, I'd like to thank the teachers, the administration, the prior board for setting this as a very important matter, and this board for all the time we did put in, as Catherine said, in this negotiation that has been ongoing. So to me, in summary, I think it's a positive recommendation. I'm glad we're here tonight to vote on it. Thank you.
Okay.
A lot has been said already. I think there's two or three points I want to make. The issue of board involvement is not always viewed here. We have conversations, but it's all the work that we do in terms of reviewing documentation and then having to give our input and getting questions answered. And I think that this represents two things for me. One is I went back to the 2013 and I went through the online our agenda packets, and the November 25th meeting actually had one of our full board reports on this was available, that talked about where we had been and where it was at the time in terms of 2013 and then the goal. And then looking back at that and rereading it and now moving this forward to where we are today, I realize how much intention, and I think that's a really important word, is put behind it. We're hearing, and always do hear conversations around collective bargaining and unions and some, concerns in terms of that conversation even in the state right now. So I want to, thank our Glen Allen Education Association volunteering here tonight, and the team, the teams, and our board voice is always reiterating concerns. Go back, take a look at this, and getting draft after draft, and so it doesn't come without some work, but it was worthwhile. Anecdotally, I want to share a conversation I had. A retired teacher contacted me when she read in the paper about this. The article is on the front page of the Herald. And she said she'd been retired, I think it's about 6 years now, but she said that she was she was proud of her, as she called it, Education Association and the work that was done, but also the district. And she said, I was probably in a minority, but 20 years ago I was asking for more time in the day. So I think, Catherine, your point about, and we've heard this actually from some parents, how do you slow down the day? And you slow down the day by giving some more time to be reflective. And so I think that this accomplishes that. The other thing I want to mention, and this is, again, it's even hard for us who are entrenched in reading all these drafts, but this is really a look at the system. And to Patrick's point, there's no, there's never a zero defect anything. There's always some piece that's going to have to get compromised. And I think that's the piece that I think I feel particularly proud of, in that there was a lot of push and pull and concern right at the beginning, but people were willing to take a step back and listen to each other and work through some of that. So, you know, some of the areas, and we had the question earlier, you know, what are the negatives, and certainly there's always concerns I would put them. But we brought this up, and it was our bus transportation, which has gotten worked out. It's an additional, what is it, $40,000, right? So that was identified through our budget, and that we would be handling that through our current operation, still again in tandem with 89 and 87, and being able to work that out. Certainly, music, which is a huge, huge part of this district, and we should and do feel really proud of, is concerned for parents, and myself included, my daughter through an orchestra all through, that they get the kind of teaching that and instruction that they can to the best of the ability. And we've already heard, again, through conversations that Paul reported back to us, that all the time that's spent at the beginning of the year to frame out classes and all that will be spent additionally with music, so they can have as many like instruments as possible and do that as well as possible. But again, a compromise on the part of our music educators, which makes me feel really proud that people are willing to take a step back and do that. And then finally, I think the other thing that I heard and went back to read notes about was this idea of, can we remove disruption? And that came from the teachers, and that came from a lot of parents, the transition and all that. And I think this is a good example of needing to allow processes to work, be tweaking them where you can immediately, and then be able to iterate, watch it iterate itself, so that you can make those fine tunes, so that going into next year, some of these things are buttoned up even more concretely than they might have been. So that's not without people's eyes on it, and I think that was important. And finally, there's no new cost associated with this. There is, in terms of additional fees, costs to salaries, the additional 2 years, I think, is actually, again, to the benefit of the district, and we brought this up, but this is a question I asked. Because the salary schedule was adjusted, and again, teachers agreed to a much more sustainable approach with the algorithm, this is really allowing us to do what our finance committee has been asking, which is that 3- and 5-year lookout, which much more concrete evidence. And so I just think that that helps us with our planning, especially with the year coming up of not knowing what's going to be out there. So, you know, certainly some concerns, but worked through by those who were coming to the table, and then, you know, through us pushing back at those questions. So I'll be supporting it.
Mm-hmm. You know, after all these comments, it's kind of stole all my thunder. I remember when the negotiating process, the pre-negotiating process started, before the hardcore negotiations started. You know, they had, I don't know what the technical term is, but you know, the board members would meet with the GIA staff, and you would just talk about
interest-based.
Thank you. And I was struck by the repeated theme that the teachers kept saying. They didn't have enough time. They didn't have enough time. It was a theme that I heard throughout that interest-based process before we got into the negotiation piece. I think that theme was picked up by our board, and a big piece of interest for the board was a timepiece. And we weren't able to get it exactly the way we wanted when the contract was finalized. But it was always that trailing piece. It's like, okay, we're going to pick this up through Team 21, and they'll come back and have a recommendation, and that didn't quite work out. And then we went back, and so this is so 3 years later from the contract being signed. I'm encouraged that we're getting 35 additional minutes of time with a teacher in front of the kids. That's huge. That's in my opinion, very, very important. I am very happy that there's 25 additional minutes of instructional time throughout the day. It wasn't there before. Based on the rigor that's in front of us, having that additional instruction time is beneficial. It's beneficial for the kids. I'm happy that I don't see any perceived additional cost or increases for doing this.
Outside of transportation.
Outside of the transportation, which was talked about. I'm happy that the additional two years is based on the algorithm calculation, which is the sustainable piece which is the CPI piece with the being margined to that calculation. I'm happy with the district's benefit contribution is frozen for the additional 2 years. I asked throughout this process, and we would sit in closed session, and that was my broken record. I said, "What's the downside with this? What is the downside? What am I missing? What's the downside piece?" And other than the transportation piece, and I never really saw one. None of them really came up to any of us throughout the process, all the closed session pieces. So again, I know there was a lot of work to go. This is 3 years of board time, administration time, and GIA time. So I wanted to thank GIA, the administration, my fellow board members, for some really good work. So I'm voting in favor of this.
Okay, thank you. I think everyone covered everything. I just trying to look through the questions that were asked tonight. I think the one other downside piece of this that wasn't, you know, that took a little bit of a hit was the PE. It's more time during the week, but it's only 4 days. That's probably the one thing that wasn't brought up that, you know, is a little disappointing, but you have to make priorities. The other one probably that wasn't brought up is you got to get your kids to school earlier. That may be a concern. I heard someone concerned about that. You know, we actually did look at the research on that, and at that age, usually the kids get up earlier. It's really the middle school and the high school where they should start later. And then also just with parents working, especially with two families working, getting the kids to school a little earlier helps them get to their job sooner. Some parents have problems with that. So, you know, while I'm not necessarily a morning person, that probably just from a data perspective made sense to do it that way, and also allow the kids to do their after-school activities without disrupting park district schedules and all that. So that was probably another one that we didn't talk about. You guys brought up other ones. I think someone asked about representatives on this. Basically, in the 2012-16 contract, Sam and Dan were our representatives. And then as we got to the process of closing this open item from the contract, basically we went into closed session almost every meeting. Maybe we missed one meeting, but we went into closed session every meeting, January and February, where the entire board discussed this, so we were all a part of the process. So we all represented this in the end. I think those were the main questions that were still outstanding. You know, just being in the town hall, there was obviously, you know, I can understand there was some frustration for some people around the communication. You know, there are processes that we have to live with that don't always make sense. The levy, for example, is one where that may not make sense on how we communicate that and how that works. This is another process where, you know, I look back, say, maybe, you know, I would have liked to have done that a little better, but we do have to live under certain certain processes and rules, which, you know, sometimes may make our thinking about how we communicate a little differently. So hopefully we can continue to improve on that, but I do understand why there could be some frustration in the system around that. So I don't really have anything else to add. You guys probably highlighted all the key points. I will say from a, you know, for me, a lot of the way I approached this was from the teacher's position. You know, more time, less pullouts, less disruption. And that was important to me because we're doing a lot in the system, and I think, you know, the teachers were asking for that time, and it was good to give them that time. So I felt good about that aspect of it. And then, of course, with my curriculum focus, I'm glad that the kids have more time on the core instruction to meet the needs. So that's it for me. Anybody else? Roll call.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Bochinski?
Yes.
Mrs. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes. Okay, superintendent's report.
I want to first by thanking everybody in this process. It has been, Drew and others mentioned, it started in 2011, and it came to a finish tonight with the board's vote. But I sincerely want to reach out to Karen and Brian from GIA for your partnership, your collaboration, the hard conversations, the pushing back and forth. I sincerely appreciate our partnership. My team, my cabinet team, but really specifically around Karen and Lori, thank you for the incredible amount of time and effort that went into this. To board members for reading each and every one of my emails, our conversations in closed session, and your continuous pushback, questions, asking, refinement. It really was a very collaborative process to arrive at a point where I believe we've created a very good schedule. There's never going to be a perfect schedule. I've been around master schedules for many, many years. There's never a perfect one, but this is a very good schedule that allows our educators to have the time they need to meet the students' needs on a daily basis. I believe this is an opportunity for us to continue to focus in on the core instruction while supporting our specials and ensuring that they have what they need, because it is about the whole child. It is about ensuring their kids have art, music, PE, but also have concentrated time in the core areas where kids aren't being pulled out on a continuous basis. I'm very pleased with our collaboration, with the work that we did on this side to put to an end the entire negotiations for that 2011 year. So thank you to everybody. With that, I'll move on to another celebration. Katie Lures, and Katie will be with us in a couple weeks to be celebrated as the Glen Ellyn Educator of the Year, a fantastic award given to an amazing young woman who's been in our system for about 7 years now. She originally was teaching math. In the last couple years, she's teaching ELL at Hadley. Steve, the other day at the breakfast, the award breakfast, and I don't want to steal his thunder, but he gave just a beautiful speech on Katie, and it was beyond the classroom walls that really separated Katie, what she's doing in the community, outstanding. But again, Katie and Steve will be here with us in 2 weeks, so Steve can share that with you, and you can thank and congratulate Katie yourself. The safety fair went to the safety fair. the other day on Saturday. Wow. Wow. For our first time out, we just did some amazing things. Huge connections in this community. Kristen, you really need to be applauded for. You brought this idea to my office a year or so ago and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm like, okay, that sounds great, but go forth and do it. And you pulled it off, you and your team. Outstanding. Outstanding. Kids were engaged. Saw all the things that you had mentioned, Lori, earlier around the taekwondo. I think it was taekwondo, but don't quote me there. The Boy Scouts. There's something going on there. But the kids were absolutely amazing. The adults, just great opportunities for our community to learn, for kids to participate. And the kids all walked away with this great little goodie bag. Little beach balls, frisbees, other outdoor games that kids could be playing. It was just fantastic. So thanks, PTA, Kristen, for really making that thing come alive. Park, as mentioned earlier, Park is here. He'll be with us for the next couple weeks as our students participate in an assessment that is federally mandated. It is important for our kids. It does help highlight students, especially subgroups of students. I know we take MAP, and MAP is a quality assessment, but one of the pieces that PARC does for us, just like ISAT has done for many years prior to that, is to be able to share our data with and amongst other districts. That data is shared out to the public, where MAP generally isn't. MAP is not something that has to be shared or is required to be shared. This data is, and it really does help us, and we did that through CIT the past 2 years, where we're looking at other districts, and sometimes not just our neighboring districts, districts around the state who are doing things at a higher rate. Can we learn from them? And that's what Brian and I engaged in CIT for the past couple of years. So PARC is coming. I am with many who said, you know, I wish it wasn't testing as much, but it is what it is right now, and it is a federal mandate that we continue down this road. One last piece that actually Patrick brought up a while ago, but then John brought it up again, was about asking Erica and I to look around and start having conversations around video recording, you know, streaming these videos for more people to be able to gain access to. With Mike and his IT team being solely devoted for PARC for the past month and a half and for the next couple weeks, that we are going to engage him to really talk to us about what's the best tool, what's the best way to continue moving down this path. Erica, do you want to add anything on that?
I just think that there are a lot of benefits to recording and to providing an opportunity for families at home to be watching because they have kids and they can all be here and engaged. So I think it's a nice next step to our engagement plan. And so we're looking into it.
So we'll be discussing that at the next meeting, right?
Yeah, we hope to. If we can get Mike a little bit of breathing time. Yeah, that is our hope. That is it for me.
Okay, thank you. Board reports?
I'll just make two quick comments. The policy committee and something. We are so far ahead of schedule on the schedule we set for ourselves over the next 2 years that we felt that we didn't need to meet in March to review. We got through Section 6, as you mentioned, and we're still ahead of schedule for what we had planned to review in the 2018 calendar year. And then secondly, I attended a panel at Hadley last week in art. I've been to several panels over this past academic year, and they've all been amazing in one way or another. This group of students in art at Hadley put an awful lot of thought into how they could provide more access for student artists to display their work. Mm-hmm. And they took this as a really serious business problem and had some really compelling business solutions to solve this art problem. I just wanted you all to know about this. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see some of these things take us into reality out of a theoretical academic context. So it was very exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Quickly, we had Erica had our coffee conversations with community members at Glen Oak again last Saturday. We competed with the fair, so I feel that was the big suck. So what happened was, you know, again, we're trying to really engage this this part of the board, reach out to the community so there's no prejudice to, you know, the administration or staff or anything like that, really that one-on-one conversation. Some questions that were asked and answered were some of them that we've already asked and answered tonight, but I still think it is a fruitful conversation that we need to continue to have. These things take legs, you know, take time to get legs, but I think it is a positive that we always keep that open line of communication. Even if it's just the board members, we know we just still have that conversation, and you can't be accused of not having those type of commitments. So I won't reiterate anything that was said at that conversation, but all of it was kind of brought up here tonight or previously. But I still think they're valuable to myself personally. I don't know if the community members get anything out of it, but I do find it helpful for myself.
Good. I would just add to that that different this time than the last time, it just turned out that it was the two of us who could do it again, was the visibility. And we had a retired teacher again from District 41. She had her Glenbard West sweatshirt on, actually, and she came over to us and had been a teacher at Churchill, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and wanted to thank the administration and the board for removing the temporary classrooms, portable classrooms.
Right.
Had worked in there, and she shared that she was one of the first teachers that were going in there, and her spouse, was uncomfortable with her staying in the building after hours to do work in there, and so would say to her, you need to come home. I don't want you in there in a separate space. So, and that's not something I would think of. I think of the safety of the kids more, like health issues, that type of thing. But certainly, that's something that some teachers thought about as well, and it's not top of the mind for me. But it was good just to have the visibility, because then people saw us. There was a family whose child was looking over, and, you know, we were able to tell us who we were. And I think it's good from that perspective as well.
So just order of magnitude, how many people showed up?
We had Mr. Cooper was there, Mrs. Rath was there, Michelle Piver, who serves and has served on PTA Council. She's a parent of a Hadley student, and then one, I think, going in, a high school student and a Hadley student, I take it back. Had some actually good questions about the decisions around facilities and, you know, where that's moving next.
Other gentlemen, Willie.
Oh yeah, Willie DeFabio, who's a former D41 board member. He stepped in for about 45 minutes, talked a little bit, actually introduced himself, talked a little bit about substitute teaching and some of the interest there. He and actually Jennifer Rath talked a lot about that as teachers. But that was it.
Okay. So we had about five right people then. So I mean, I know you guys think this is worthwhile. That's fine. I mean, you know, but maybe we need to, I don't know, see if there's a way to get more people. I mean, it doesn't have to be, I'm not saying you have to have 100 people, but obviously the idea is to reach out to new and different people, and maybe we can think about.
Well, it could be a location. We could shift locations, because we talked about that before, too.
Yeah.
Right? But I think about this like coffee with the police department, and I'm sure they don't get, 50 people there every single time, but I feel like with the first one especially, because we had, I think, four or five, a couple, and then three or four other parents who'd never been to a board meeting, did not come to the listening town hall sessions. Now, this was really their opportunity to come and talk. And so I think it's a quality versus quantity thing, and I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not.
So maybe it's a location.
You couldn't facilitate 100 people.
Nor could we sit there.
And do we know when the next one is scheduled?
We have not talked about that. So I think if we can maybe look at calendars for the next board meeting and who wants to do it.
Okay.
Can do that.
Right. Anybody else?
Go ahead. I was going to say, I have a couple of things. One thing I wanted to mention about the safety fair, and I didn't realize our nurse was going to be there. We had a nurse from the district there, and she did. I just chatted with her quickly. I was there for Glenbard West. I was there for CARES table, but she talked about how much outreach she did in that period of 3 hours. Information around immunization, parents who hadn't really talked about the upcoming year for registration, incoming kindergartners. And so she said, I handed out so much information. It was just a boon for her. And we had a lot of younger families. It was interesting that was more of the draw for that, which I think, you know, they thought it was going to be. But I wanted to mention that. I was at PTA Council this morning, and Lori said a summary of that. I just want to mention two things. One was that Rose Shaning, who's the nurse over at Hadley, came, and she spoke about new policy for the district that's mirroring actually other districts on first day exclusion. So typically we allow students to come in, and is it about like the first week in October that they need to have all their immunization records and all that information in. And in part due to this measles epidemic, or measles outbreak, I should say epidemic, strike that, outbreak, and also issues around safety in terms of participating in PE or any sports, they've changed the policy, and they want to have everybody with everything filled out that first day. So she's, you know, they're doing a lot of outreach, certainly through Erica, and making sure that the counselors are talking to parents and all that. So I think that's a good thing, and it was really for her, and she's been around a long time, though. She's a long time nurse here. So she's seen a lot of changes, a lot of kids with medication and that type of thing. So the sooner they know what's going on, it's really a safety issue for the kids and getting them ready to go.
And just a point of clarification, the nurses came to us last summer. They were way ahead of this, way before the measles outbreak came. They knew that this has been an issue, and they wanted to ensure that we looked at this, and they championed it all the way through.
And then just a curiosity question, is 87, do they have a first day exclusion? I can't remember that with my...
I cannot remember.
I meant to ask Rose that today, but anyway, I'd be interested in knowing that. Then the other, one thing I just want to mention at the council this morning, this is different this year. All of the elementaries are doing some kind of drama program in addition to maybe like a talent show or something like that, but they're kind of replicating what Hadley's doing. And we had two elementary schools, Forest Glen and Churchill, that had to move out of their buildings in order to have their presentation because they had such interest in it. So both of them were at local churches. So good news is we're partnering again more in the community to be more a part of what we're doing, which I think is great because that's communication. But says something about the high levels of activities in the buildings and space usage, you know, back to that. So I thought that was interesting. Very quickly, Team 21 was last Thursday, March 5th, and we're finishing up the book, Disrupting Class, that I think I've talked a little bit about. And for the next few chapters with our next meeting, we're going to do what we call Jigsaw. So each of us took a set, like three or four of us took a particular chapter to come in and report back in on. And so we'll finish that up. Karen did a review along with Kelly King of the academic achievement that we had the last time, which was the box and whisker plot. So that was the information we had last time that the teachers had not seen. A lot of really good feedback from them, and pleasant to see how much they saw that lack of slide in terms of the gap between spring and then fall math assessments. So it was good to just watch them and see what some of their reaction was, including we've got to get rid of some of these outliers on the bottom, and how do we make sure we create more even up top. So, and reminder that, and the teachers brought this up, when we showed the plots up there, and there were people in the audience who were there too, those dots at the bottom or at the top represented one child. And one piece of feedback I thought that was good that came out, and this is from a parent rep, or one of the parent reps, was to codify that in some way, so not to label it as this is, you know, X child from, you know, Myanmar or whatever, but this is the same student, you know, so that we can track that student is not making a lot of progress. So how, you know, what are the teachers doing, or what are some supports that can move that child up into the box? So I thought that was good, you know, good feedback on that. The other thing I want to mention, there just happened to be an article in the Daily Herald actually today, I think, yeah. About a teacher who's doing this. You know, they do the top teachers thing. Mm-hmm. But there were, at the last Team 21 meeting, there was an agreement that Team 21 members would offer either themselves to go out and observe in other classrooms in the school and or invite teachers into their classrooms to do some teacher-led learning. And it was just to test among Team 21, not to make a complicated schedule or anything like that. We're not wanting to do that. But this is some of the feedback, and I took notes so that I could report back because I think this is important. We talked a little bit about it. Observation of a first grade to a second grade teacher was a great opportunity to see other collaborative relationships. I thought this was good between the aides and the teacher. And so some real learning about how is this teacher working with that aide in the classroom and doing some things differently than this teacher really might have thought about, especially between the Chris teacher and the aide as well. There was no pressure to do this, real ease of use, and they just decided, you know, what would work. Quotes to really get a feel for how colleagues are using strategies and methods, you have to go in and be part of the class. And I just, that's a verbatim. This one, more of the informal conversation, so they might have observed the whole lesson or a part of it while they had children in their specials, and then they went and used that time. But this is another quote, and this is from one of the teachers in Team 21 who's been in the district a long time. She's a Forest Glen teacher. We teach so much in isolation that it was an excellent opportunity to confer with our colleagues. We need to do this more often. And one last one was inspiring for me to see how creative my colleague is. So I hear that, and I, you know, there was pushback a month ago when we first talked about this because it was, oh, we don't want to, you know, people are uncomfortable, you don't want to be observed, you know. So we tried to pull that language out of it, and it's really that collaboration. And then in the paper today, this article is about a teacher at Maine West teaching her fellow teachers. For the last 2 years, she's not only directed her efforts to helping students in the classroom, but helping fellow teachers become the best versions of themselves. And the reality of the discomfort of it, you know, at the high school level, college level, whatever. So just some good conversation in Team 21 around what can we be doing better as an opportunistically. So I just wanted to report on that and give a little bit of a detail.
All right. Thank you. Anything else?
Calendar committee, real quick. Sure. So calendar committee, and for those who aren't familiar, the calendar committee is an annual committee, and the participants are teacher Carrie Norton, AFSCME representative Kathy Maxson, Lori Campbell, assistant superintendent, Nancy Moak, our recording secretary for the board, and Paul's executive assistant, Paul Gordon, and Mary Hornacek, principal at Forest Glen, and then one board member rotates. It happens to be me this year that served on it. So some of this information is already out because we talked a little about that with the MOU. And the idea of, I think the biggest takeaway is at least the same number of five-day weeks again this year, which has always been a push, and to make sure there's some continuity. But then the other one is hearing the challenge of teacher conferences and keeping them early in November, but having them be all in the evening, so that we have more parents accessible to Hadley and elementaries and Glenbard West as they match up, if you have kids in all three school settings. So just some really good work. So we'll be bringing this back to the board next
23rd.
So you'll see that, but good work on our calendar committee.
All right. Sure. Anyone else? Finance?
I'll do finance real quick. We talked about three budgets. We talked about the teaching, learning, and accountability budget, the student services budget, and the ESL bilingual services and pre-K budget.
Perfect. Thank you. Anyone else? I've just got one thing here. I received something from the Illinois Association of School Boards around governance. It's a school board governance recognition. It's a program that's designed to acknowledge those school boards that have engaged in activities and modeled behaviors that lead to excellence in local school governance in support of quality public education and hallmarks of the IASB mission. There's some criteria, a form to fill out, and it's really to the period June 30th, 2015. I will no longer be here, and if you guys are interested, you should let me know. It's things such as adopting and communicating a written vision, conducting regular policy reviews, superintendent evaluation process, connecting with the community on issues of importance, implementing an orientation process. So it's they deem it as a rigorous process that recognizes boards. And once you do this, you can be recertified every 2 years. So I'll need to know if you guys are interested in pursuing this.
Excuse me, Rich, John, one thing that you mentioned in that, and you and I talked about this, but just to bookend this from this morning, because I studied the PTA Council, but per board policy, we started through John the process of Paul's performance evaluation. So I know that we're all on Tampa. I mentioned it at PTA Council this morning for the leadership there. And that this coming Monday, our feedback individually is due to John by the 16th, that then gets compiled, gets back to us, and then we start the process of review. So that's happening.
Anybody else? Okay, upcoming meetings, March 23rd, 2015, regular board meeting at 7:30 p.m., Central Services Office. April 13th, 2015, regular board meeting, 7:30 p.m., Central Services Office. Other matters? Paul?
Yep. So I have a proclamation for in recognition of school board member Catherine Wilkinson. Whereas Catherine Wilkinson has served District 41 faithfully in her role as board member of the Board of Education and member of the Board of Education Policy Committee, and whereas Catherine's board's service has been distinguished by her sincere concern for District 41 now and in the future, and whereas Catherine Wilkinson has always managed the competing demands of family and school board responsibilities with grace and good cheer, and whereas Catherine Wilkinson has led by courtesy, civility, and integrity, and whereas because the Wilkinson family is relocating, the Board of Education has had to regretfully accept Catherine's resignation, therefore be it proclaimed that in recognition of Catherine's service as a board member from June 10, 2014 through March 23, 2014, the board recognizes, honors, and thanks Catherine for her dedication to the District 41 community, and especially to the children it serves. So thank you from each and every one.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Catherine.
I think this could have been said about all of us. It just so happened that you said it about me.
Thank you. Okay, adjourn to closed session. The board does not have a need to go into closed session at this time, so may I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion. Second.
May I have a second, please?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
If that's appropriate.
Yes. Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Bochensky?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Have a wonderful evening.